We're back! It's the Day Trippers! And we're back! Yes. All right, back again. It's the pre-season. It's the first one of the new season to kick it off. We've got the Klopp's clippity-cloppity army heading off to the States at the this week. We've got a Huddersfield game. We've just seen the Wigan match. We've seen Young Cock Woodburn there, born up with another goal. And then we've also had Danny Ings pinging in another goal as well. So tonight, in association, continued association with Munster Gadgets, get on there for all your Kodi box and Android boxes and all those type of boxes and smartwatches. And I think we've got two smartwatches to give away. And Neil, still, you need to give me the winner of the fourth slot of the tablet gaming machine. Anyway, get on there, munstergadgets.com. There is a discount code. I'll get Neil to tweet it from the account and you get your 10% off, and of course they look after you very well there. Anyway, on tonight we're going to talk about the Liverpool pre-season so far. We're going to give our thoughts on the transfers. We're also going to have a look at the other stuff, the tour that's coming up and anything else that can pop into our head. And literally, when I say pop into our head, you know me, anything can pop into my head. Anyway, without further ado, I'm handing over the hosting duties to Steve-O tonight because I do need to step out for a bit. So, Steve-O, take this bad boy away and take it to town.
Okay, so we're joined tonight by Jim Boardman and Paul Brennan, along with Phil, who will be along with us shortly. So, first up, Jim, we'll maybe pop into a quick review of the Wigan game yesterday and get a few words from you on your thoughts of how the game went.
Yeah, I actually only got to see the highlights. I was busy that day, you know, I mean, it's only pre-season, but I like what I saw. I mean, the things that stood out are, let's start with the negatives. One bad mistake from a goalkeeper that, if that had been in a league game, we'd name things after him for that. But after, you know, we would be call it the Carrius, wouldn't we? We'd just never forget it. But it was a pre-season, we'll all forget about it soon. And then I suppose at the other end of the scale, how good Coutinho looked, because he just looked, he looked, considering it was his first game back, he looked as sharp as anything. And then just one other thing to mention is Ben, the young lad. I mean, he's only 16 now. You don't want to big a player up when they're so young. You know, you don't want to kind of put too much pressure on them. But wow, if that's a sign of things to come, I'm really looking forward to him in a couple of years' time.
Oh, absolutely. How calm does he look? You know, he just looks unflappable for a 16-year-old kid who's just getting his chance in the team and in around, you know, established internationals and first team players, and he's just grabbing it, you know, the chance with both hands, isn't he? You've mentioned there about the mistake by Karius. Yeah, I suppose if that's Mignolet, he's getting absolutely, pre-season or no pre-season, he's getting slaughtered for that. But Karius has probably got himself a bit of good grace for a few months anyway before we start ripping him to shreds.
He's still got credit in the bank for not being Mignolet. So.
Just not being Mignolet.
Get away with a couple more.
Absolutely. But you have to say, you know, if you look at the game on the whole, and of course we can't read too much into it, we still don't have our full, you know, full squad of first team players back yet. It's against a Wigan side that really was only half a Wigan side, because some of them, you know, alternatives played against Man United the day beforehand. But, you know, putting all that aside, our lads have to go out and play, and they have to win, and they have to play the football that Klopp wants them to play. And to be fair to them, they look like they're enjoying it, and they're putting his methods into practice at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ings actually said something after the game. There was an interview with him where he was saying that he's had to kind of sit and watch you from the sidelines all last season while he was injured, and it's as if he's been dying to get into this, dying to start actually playing the way that he can see Liverpool have been playing. And I think, you know, it's reassuring that even he's managed to get straight into this. And I think by the time we've had like this couple of months of pre-season, not quite a couple of months, you know, by the time we start the new season, they'll have not just been training together, they've been playing together. And I'm really looking forward to the new season, even though we've still got, you know, what is it, 9 or 10 players still to come back.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's worries about whether the squad's going to be big enough or good enough quality. But you know what? The players we've got have actually, you know, all things considered, considering it's preseason and everything else, you know, there's lots of promise there, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Sorry, Jim, you were saying about Danny Ings there and how he was itching to get back into this side.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see Danny Ings, he's desperate to get in. I think it's good to have competition as well for places because, you know, this is something I think we've not had at Liverpool properly for the last few seasons. Is you want, you know, if there's two players for a position that are fighting for that position, that surely makes the one who's on the pitch play better. It makes the one who gets a chance through injury or suspension or a bit of rotation play better when he comes in. And it just keeps it going and it's good for the team. And Ings, I don't know, we signed two players last summer, two strikers. And I know Benteke's not played yet this pre-season, but from what we've seen on this pre-season, Ings was by far the better signing of the two strikers last summer. But we've yet to really see him properly for a full season, so this is his chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most would agree that even Ings, before he got the injury that he got, was starting to look sharp in that team last season. And you can say what you like, pre-season friendlies or not, strikers like scoring goals. It boosts their confidence. You could see by the way he was bending his runs yesterday. You know, Danny Ings, you know, okay, he's not a global superstar, but he has it upstairs. He's the sort of bloke that we always talk, when we sign different players, we talk, oh, maybe that person will chip in with 10 or 15 goals a season. I think Danny Ings is somebody that you can genuinely get behind that and feel that there actually is 10 to 15 goals in him next season. And he's someone that you can, if he's starting, great. If he's coming from the bench, you're not looking going, oh, for Christ's sake, here comes so-and-so. You know what I mean? You're looking at him thinking, yeah, here's a player that's going to get at people, who's going to make the runs in behind defences, and who, if given the opportunity, can put the ball in the net.
And yeah, that's, like, I wasn't sure about Ings when we signed him, but like the more you see of him, and especially like how sharp he is already at the start of pre-season, he looks like he could have a very good season for us. So I think he's a fantastic option to have, and he's going to be like hungrier than ever after what happened to him last season, after getting his dream move and having it all kind of shot to shit with his injury. So I think he'll hit the ground running straight away as soon as the season starts.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for him. Jim, what do you think? You know, we have to be careful because we've seen this all before with pre-season, seeing the kids out playing. You know, we get our eye on one or two of them that we like, and all of a sudden we all believe that player is the most amazing player in the world, that we've seen enough of them that to justify they should get first team games or whatever it might be. But what do you think it is about this crop of kids that are standing out? Because there is a few of them there, and there's a few that are in there. But what makes them better than the likes of Canos or Pacheco or Suso or Ibor, whoever it might be? You know, let's maybe leave Jordan Ibe out, that because he did go on to get a first team career, albeit a short lived one.
It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, there has been changes at the academy which were criticised at the time. You know, when Rodolfo lost his job and other changes that went on that were criticised. And I mean, to be honest with you, some of them have been around long enough that they've been there throughout that. They've seen both sides of that. I think it's a lot of different factors, and I think maybe, you know, things are settling a little bit more now at the club. And I think whatever level of the club you're at, whether it's the academy or the first team, you need to feel settled, don't you? It's interesting that they're playing well now because they know each other. What will be more interesting is if there's just one or two of them getting slotted in, and to see how they play. Because there's a couple of things you notice in pre-season where, you know, the players know where each other's run's going to be, where they're going to be, and you know, and that's you know, that's something you get from teamwork. It's getting them to do that when, you know, when they're the players slotted in amongst, you know, 10 sort of season
first team.
Absolutely. But it is just promising, and I think to say what it's actually down to is difficult. Maybe also, don't forget, it's maybe we're getting better at scouting. So the players that we're bringing in, they're kind of, you know, they've already had a couple of years at a club. Those sort of players that we're bringing in, maybe we're getting better quality against those as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and to be fair, as you say, it is pre-season. They are playing football together, you know, if they're playing 18s or 21s together, they do know, you know, the runs that each of them are going to make. One thing personally I've noticed, you know, Cameron Brannigan has been touted as probably the player most likely out of all the youth players that we have to be the next one to take that step up. What do you think? I don't see it, and I haven't seen it in the games I've seen him playing. Now, maybe that's a lack of education on my part in terms of not having seen him enough, but I seen him a few times when he played in cup games last year under Klopp, and even in pre-season so far, he hasn't stood out to me. If you look at the players that have stood out, like Woodburn, like Iaria, you know, and other people like that, you know, what's your thoughts on Cameron Brannigan? Maybe you've seen a bit more of him than we have.
I've actually not seen probably as much of him as you have. Actually, I've not seen him at the academy at all, and I've basically just seen what he's done in the first team. And I think you've got that thing with players sometimes, though. You kind of, you know, the player that you get that Liverpool are always linked with that has a really good YouTube video, yeah, because he did five great minutes over the last season. You know, it could be a touch of that. But what I have seen of him, he seems assured, he seems confident. He doesn't seem fazed by playing with the first team players. Yeah, at the same time, he's still got a fair way to go. He is still quite young, and he's playing in the positions where he's got competition, hasn't he? You know, he's going to struggle, I think, to break in past the people in front of him. And so, but the weird thing is, there were rumours that Barcelona wanted him. Now, I don't know where the rumours came from. I never saw that. I just literally got told by somebody, and yeah, it's probably all the nonsense. But it does say something that maybe that's what it is that about him. Maybe he's more suited for a European game, and that's where the rumours came from, that people thought that's what he'd be good at. I've not got anything to complain about with what I've seen of him, but I think, say, you compare him to, say, Kevin Stewart, I think, got rave reviews deservedly when he played a few games last season, because, okay, there were still some shortcomings in his game, but he looked confident and assured when he was thrown in. Whether, you know, it's one thing, though, to have them thrown in as cover when you're short or when there's rotation needs to be had. To rely on them week in, week out is a bit different. And I think a few of the players we're seeing now really, really need to get out on loan for the season. And it's somewhere good as well, you know, not to be sort of dumped in the reserves like Wisdom was last year at Norwich, you know, to get to play week in, week out with coaches who play something like the way Liverpool want to play.
Yeah, like one of the things, though, is that Klopp has said he's not that keen on the loan system, hasn't he? He said he's not really that eager to send people out. So that's, I won't say it's a concern, but he said, listen, how can they understand the way I want them to play and the way we play as a team if they spend their time out with another club? And looking at someone like Brannigan, okay, people are probably going to slate me for making this what would you say, comparison. But you look at Brannigan, 20 years of age, he's not that young. Okay, yes, any player can obviously develop from 20 to 25 a huge amount. But if you look at somebody like, let's take Steven Gerrard, okay, let's take Xabi Alonso, let's take Aaron Ramsey, any of these players, by the time they were at the age that he is now, they were already making a name for themselves in a first team somewhere. Like Alonso was doing it at Sociedad. We signed him at 22 or whatever it was. At 20 years of age, Steven Gerrard was well established in the first team. You know, the same with Aaron Ramsey, I would have thought. I'd have to go back and check. But there's plenty of players like that. And if Brannigan is our next big hope, you would have to think that it's this season is to see him either break in and make a proper, maybe he replaces Joe Allen in that squad if Allen's moving on. But if he doesn't do it this year, you have to wonder, is he going to do it?
I think that applies to a lot of players at this age. This is definitely the time when, I mean, it was almost automatic with Liverpool in days gone by that you're either at 21, you either got your full professional contract and kind of moved into the first team, or they got rid of you. And I don't know if that's still the way now with Liverpool. And I think, you know, there's still a chance you can hang on a bit longer if you think there's hope for you. But no, I think it's got to be a really good hope for him. And you're right, this season's got to be the one. Whether he'll send them out on loan, I think what's interesting is that when he arrived at Christmas and he said this about the loan players, is that he'd had no say whatsoever in where they went and what kind of football they might be playing and what kind of coach they'd have. This season, I think that's a bit different. To, you know, I mean, the link he's got to Huddersfield, for instance, you know, that's one place where I think you might see a few more Liverpool players go, because he knows exactly, you know, he knows how they're going to play. His mates running the club, sort of thing. So that's the difference, I think. Because as much as he says he doesn't like them going out on loan, it's the Premier League reserve league is absolutely abysmal. It's hardly any games. Great gaps in the middle of the season.
There's no continuity to it.
Yeah, you're not even playing in front of a crowd or anything, really. You know, you're playing in front. Sometimes you're even just playing at the academy. It's not experience. And I think unless he's got some magic plan where he can do more with them, I think he really does need to get them out on loan. But the key thing is to get them out where they need to be, where they'll develop. So with Branigan, if he sends him out on loan, he should be able to send him out and say, this is what I want him to work on. This is what I want him to get better at. And if the other club can't do that for him, then don't send him. You might as well keep him at your own place.
Yeah.
I can see both sides of the loan argument, really, because on one hand, like, we've had some shocking loans, like, really, in the past few years. There's been, like, you know, players going out and, you know, on a 3-month loan or whatever and coming back after a few weeks because it just hasn't worked out for them. There's been some, obviously Jordan Ibe did really well at Derby, but I can see what he means where, like, you don't know what's going to happen, like, when you send, like, a manager can tell you, yeah, give me that player on loan and I'll play him every week. And, you know, if he has one bad game, the manager's just going to drop him. So, I do think if he's not going to loan them out, then he has to take a big kind of chance on giving them game time, because, like, a player like Branigan will just stagnate if he's just on the bench and flitting between the reserves and the first team. And with his own game, he really did impress at the youth level. But at the moment, he's just a bit of a steady Eddie at first team level. So he does need to make a step up. And it's just about how we can make him do that, whether he does need to keep him and take a good chance on giving him proper game time, or else, like, if he does have to try and loan him off somewhere.
I agree on that. I mean, I think what you said about players stagnating as well, it's so difficult. I think, personally, I think Ibe stagnated for Liverpool last season. I think he sort of had quite a quick path from the kids to the first team, if you like. I mean, and he looked so promising. He was really, really improving. And then, to me, last season, he kind of just stood still. He needed to add more goals to his game. He needed to up certain things. And he didn't do it. And I think if I was a player playing in the Premier League last season for another club, and we'd said, oh, we're going to go and spend 17 million on him this summer, there'd have been people up in arms about it. I don't think we would have wanted it.
I'd have been one of them, Jim.
Yeah. So it's just same with Branigan now. All young players, or quite a lot of young players, will hit a point where they stagnate, and it's vital to not let that stay that case for too long. You know, I mean, just work on it. And the crop of youngsters we've got as well means that he's not just competing with first team players for a first team place. He's competing with people of his own age as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and you know, as we said, it's one of those things. I think Jordan Ibe, one of the biggest problems he had was he never added any form of end product. You know, it might not have been goals, but he never really looked like a player who was going to tear defences apart, and he never looked like a player that was going to, you know, add 10 assists a season to his game. And you know, if he wasn't adding goals, but he was doing the other things that either made him a dangerous person to have on the field, fair enough, but he didn't, and I think we were right to move him on this summer.
Hi guys.
Oh, Phil's back. Hey Phil.
So
I suppose moving on from that, you know, we've seen this week Jurgen Klopp has come out and sort of put some fans in their place in terms of transfer expectations. He's basically just said, you know you guys want major signings, that may not happen. I'm the fucking manager, leave it to me, you know. And I think that's amazing to see. I think that hasn't been said enough in the past. And I think he's probably the one manager in a while, probably since Benitez, that you would feel has the fans backing, or most of the fans backing, in terms of trusting him. You know, if Rodgers had tried to have the summer that Klopp is having in terms of players coming in and players going out, there would be an absolute, you know, meltdown. And whilst people are still a little bit concerned, I think they're, and I am one of them, that's trusting him to know what he's doing and putting the balance into the side.
I don't trust anyone.
I know that, Phil.
No, I don't.
Well, that's because you're a narcissist.
I know. No, I don't trust anyone. No, yeah. Fucking, like, seriously, we've been here too many times. I'm hoping that Klopp does something miraculous, because we are fully engaging in this FSG idea of buying them young and turning them into superstars under Klopp. I can understand the frustration and the fears that fans have about not signing some recognised players or more recognised players. But at the same time, look, we've tried that. Hasn't worked. We've literally tried every combination now at this stage and it hasn't worked. So I'm trying, really going all in for signing, like, unknown players and relatively unknown players.
You know what, we haven't done that though. We haven't done the going for the really top end, because, like, Benteke, 2.5 million. You know, Firmino, 30 million. That's the kind of money we're paying. They're our record fees. Mm. But maybe I'm dreaming too much here. Maybe we're saving the money because next summer we're going to get into the Champions League and we're going to go out and pay like £65 million for whatever next summer's Luis Suarez is. And I don't mean the Luis Suarez as in the one we bought. I mean Luis Suarez as in the one we sold. You know what I mean? The players that you would be mad not to buy if you had the money and they were in front of you, you know, and that's something I don't think we've done too much of down the years. And maybe we're kind of doing this thing where we kind of go somewhere in the middle and just lose anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's they're trying to follow the Arsenal model, really. If the Arsenal model when Arsenal were building their stadium and they didn't sign any big players, they used the sign.
Arsenal didn't give Southampton 40 million quid a season, though, either. No, I think he's the best manager, well, more or less the best manager in the world that we could have in the situation that we're in, what we're trying to do, the kind of game of catch up we're trying to play. I just don't know if it's going to be enough because of the amount of teams that just have a better starting position than us and who have better resources than us. I think it's a huge job for him. I wouldn't say that I don't trust him, but like I don't have this kind of blanket idea of, oh, that looks like a shite signing, but trust Klopp, like, you know, like this made-up kind of fella that we've signed. Yes, it is centre-back and all. Like
Ragnar,
destroyer of worlds or something.
Ragnar Lofbrok, I think it is. Yeah.
Ragnar Kaplamlam. What's his name?
One of the Vikings.
He was
one of the characters in the Vikings.
By the end of next season, I won't know his name. I know. Tall Estonian fella.
They may as well just said like Stephen Kalker. And we would have thought, oh, fair enough. Yeah, we signed him, didn't we, just to be backup centre-back and never to play.
No, I think he'll play games.
Well, you'd have to. Yeah, because everyone else is injured.
There's a chance I might play games. I think we have to just accept that the problem has always been in the last few years. A lot of people, and I've been one of them, said it, that there hasn't been balance or a sense of purpose to the signings we've been signing. It's like we've been going out and just picking people at random
because they were good.
Yeah,
you know, as opposed to they were going to be good for what I wanted to do with the team.
Klopp is looking okay. And I've said this a couple of times here. One of the best things I heard him say, and it's so simple. He said, "I'm going." You know, when he signed Matip on the pre-agreement, the pre-contract, and he said, "Well, we're looking to press teams really high up the pitch. Their natural reaction is going to be to get rid of that ball and get it down low. We need a big centre half there, capable of winning a lot of balls in the air because we're going to be challenging at the halfway line to put the ball back into their half." It made perfect sense, but rarely do you hear a manager come out and say, this is a player that I saw, he was available to us, I believe he has the qualities that I need for X, Y, Z because I want us to play in this fashion. And you just go, yeah, you know, it just makes sense. Never did I hear Rodgers being able to explain why he bought Benteke. And I'm not going to turn this
He just kind of said, well, he's going to add physicality and hold the ball up for us. But, like, obviously that was offset by the fact that he's absolutely shite.
So would Emil Heskey. Yeah. You know, Emil Heskey would still add physicality and hold the ball up for us. I'm a fucking huge arse. I'd add physicality to a point.
Those things you have for kids, you know, like the blow-up men that you hit, that you punch repeatedly and just put sand on the bottom?
Yeah.
You could just hit the ball at it. And I just hold it up and bounce it back to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blow you up, man.
So, you know, from that point of view, it was just nice to hear somebody going at it the right way, in my opinion. And that's why, you know, I've just said to myself, for me, he can buy whoever he wants. Mm. Don't care if the... And even with Mane, I had a couple of, you know, things to say about the price we paid. But, you know what, if that's what it took to get the player that he believed was right for the position that he wanted to fill, fair enough, because he's out there taking some other people.
But can I say something?
Yeah, of course it
echoes back to what Jim said. I think there is this desire to see us being able to compete at the top table. I'm not talking about on the pitch, I'm just talking about in signings, because when you look at shit like United and stuff like that going out and spending a billion to euro sterling, well, whatever it is nowadays, right? But like,
cornflakes.
40 million boxes of cornflakes on whoever they want because they're prepared to spend thousands upon thousands more in wages on the players, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to say, I don't want to hear about wage bills. I don't want to hear about, you know, wage structures. I just want to see a splash fucking 300 grand a week on a player. I want to see us spend 48 million.
But that doesn't guarantee.
I don't
anything.
Want to see Andy Carroll in
because
the
they
most
spent,
expensive signing bracket ever before.
I understand that. That would be nice just to spend 36 million on somebody.
Anybody.
Just to get him out of there.
Blow you up, man. Yeah.
But no, like we've seen with Di Maria, the prime example of going out and spending 60 million quid, huge wages. He was on whatever, 250, 300 grand a week, and he just didn't work. So for me, all the fans getting themselves up in a fucking tizzy over
it's
the
true
fact
though.
That they're not
no
doing
matter,
it.
Matter who we sign, even we spent 500 million on signings this summer, right? And spent it like on big, huge Champions League players, 50% of them wouldn't work.
Of course they wouldn't. And I think part of, I could be wrong on this, but maybe part of Klopp's mentality is if you're signing a player of 50 million quid or 40 million quid, whatever it might be, he comes with an expectancy in terms of what he wants from the club. And Klopp doesn't tend to work like that. Klopp, and I'm going to get slated for saying this, but Klopp nearly is like Shankly in the sense of how he believed that the club was the primary element and everybody else there is there to serve the club. And, you know, whilst I'm not going to start making memes of Helmut Boss, you know...
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're just going to publish them under somebody else's name and claim it's not you.
I would never do that.
No, not at all.
But what I'm saying is, I think you sign a player for 250 grand a week and 40 million quid or 50 million quid, it's very hard to maybe get the same work ethic out of them. That they, there's anomalies. There's the likes of Suarez who will just kill himself in a game of Balotelli. In a training match.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But I think when you start getting yourself into that point of 40, 50 million quid signings and 300 grand a week, maybe you lose that little bit of ability to get that extra 10% out of them.
And as well, like as like with the reservations I have about kind of the way our transfers are going, the one good thing about Klopp is that he's there's never going to be a Di Maria, because in the first place I think United only got him, didn't they, because PSG kind of at the last minute said, oh no, we don't want him this year. So yeah, United came in year. And like threw a lot
threw
of money,
money
at
him. Yeah.
And it, like, it went kind of the way you'd expect something like that to go. His heart wasn't in it. Whereas like you hear like there's rumours now that Klopp pulled out the Götze deal like ages ago now, before the Euros,
because Götze ate all his donuts on him before he even got to finish the day. Look at that fat bastard. I'm not any more there, Jürgen. I want 250 grand a week.
Yeah, he's a chubby lad, all right.
But there's been, you know, reports that Götze, like Klopp felt he was just kind of keeping us on the long finger so that if a move to Dortmund didn't materialise, then he could come. And Klopp pulled the plug. So at least that way, it does lessen the odds of having a Di Maria on your books. Like, you know, a giant expensive fella earning a billion deal a week. He just can't produce.
I do wonder, is that maybe some Liverpool fans' story to tell themselves, rather than just saying, he looked at us and said, you've been in the Champions League once in the last fucking 8 years. Fuck off. You know what I mean? I think there could be an element of that. Because
well, maybe, yeah. But was it not in one of the papers? One of the Merseyside journals or something say that he pulled pulled the plug before the Euros or something?
Maybe he did. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we can get...
No, listen, Steve-O, Liverpool fans wouldn't delude themselves like that, okay?
We dumped him, he didn't dump us. You know?
No, exactly.
Didn't want to shag him anyway.
We've never been torn down by a player, ever. Yeah. We always pull him.
Yeah. I never wanted to be with those Victoria's Secret models anyway. Yeah.
No.
So we've got those links to Ronaldo now that have come in over the last week or so.
Do you know what? I actually confused. I when we were linked to him, I thought it was somebody else.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm really disappointed now when I found out who it was. I thought it was Van der Veel, the fullback.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Why did we want? Is he not a right back?
I don't know. We can play both sides. But we could do with a backup right back.
Yeah, we probably could, rather than having to rely on.
then it was like, oh no, it's him.
No, Wijnaldum had some brilliant games for Newcastle, and early in the season looked very good. But yeah, like everybody was terrible for Newcastle last season. That doesn't mean that they have 20 terrible footballers. It just means that as a collective group, they were corrosive, and that happens. And you can see that in the past.
The Wijnaldum signing, though, says to me about the Mane signing, because straight away there's been, oh, we didn't get Götze, so we went straight to Mane. And if you're looking at two players, you'd say, no.
No, they were no, targets for a few months.
Like, you'd be like, they're going, you don't go from Götze to Mane.
It's almost like
two vastly different players.
It's like going from Suarez to Ricky Lambert.
Yeah.
You'd never do that.
Like, you'd never say to yourself, I can bring in Ricky Lambert because Suarez is gone.
Yeah, we've just got rid of the third best player in the world. Clearly the answer is Ricky Lambert, Ricky Lambert and Mario Balotelli.
Yeah.
Never do that.
Never.
Listen, Balotelli can still turn it all around. I've been saying it all
He just needs the right manager.
Yeah, exactly.
He just needs the right manager.
He can just get the best out of him.
Jim, do you have any thoughts on Wijnaldum, or have you seen much of him yourself? Or
he's not the fullback now, Jim.
not Gregory van der Veen.
I've not seen him, but I read a quote from Rafa, which I don't know where I read it now, but it was from when he first joined Newcastle, and he was saying about him that he's such a quality player that he can play him in a number of different positions and he'd be really good in them, and that maybe he wasn't even playing him in his best position. I think he was talking that his best position might be kind of a, I don't know, like the number 10, if you like, something like that. But he played him in a few, and he said it's because he's such good quality that he can play him in any of those positions. And I think that if that's true, and obviously I do respect a lot of what Rafa says, but whether he meant that is another thing, because you always say good things about your players, don't you, to see if you can get something out of them. Even Balotelli said compliments to our managers in the past. I think if that's true, that's the kind of player we want, because we want to have that kind of flexibility, not just sort of before a game when you're picking your side, but during a game as well when you need to change things around a bit, or you know, just to move players around a little bit, because there's a few players that can kind of play in those front positions, you know, we've all those front positions, and what we don't want is a kind of jack of all trades who's a master of none of them. But we want players that can move around. We've got suspensions, we need to change things tactically, we've got those options. And so without seeing him, that's the thing that intrigued me the most, was that, you know, someone like Rafa saying he's really good in a number of positions.
Yeah, no, fair point.
The one thing I would say, but what I was trying to say about the Mane thing, like you're going from Götze to Mane, and you were saying that does make sense. But if you went from Götze to Wijnaldum, in terms of style of players, you can see the similarities. So to me, it says that we've been going for this type of player from the start of the transfer window, that they were probably lining up to replace. If we didn't get Götze, who was next on the list in terms of and who was gettable? They've looked around, they've seen Wijnaldum as being a similar style of player, and they're going for him. Mane was a separate deal. If you remember back to Christmas, there was talk of that Klopp wanted to bring in a wide forward.
Yeah.
And Mane fits the wide forward bill in terms of where he wants them to play out wide, cutting in, scoring goals from there. So going back to the earlier point, like there just seems to be a constant strain of logic in what the style of players were trying to sign,
isn't it?
I don't understand this.
I've never seen,
because normally we're sitting here and it's just the randomness. Yeah. It's just the randomness.
The random transfer generator.
Who do we sign this week? Sweeper.
So we're signing Edwin van der Sar for left wing. Okay. Let's go again. that's pretty much been our strategy for a few years now. So fair point.
So yeah, just I'm confused.
So we have the US tour coming up now. I suppose it is the usual. It's the big commercial arm of what we want to do this summer, isn't it? Get us out there, you know, drive more commercial interest. I'm sure that's a part of it, and they're going to try and use their partnerships with other brands and whatever else over there. I always see
the American trip as the sort of like showing your balls out from FSG.
Yeah,
excuse me, club. This is our football team. We have the Red Sox, and we have.
It's like bringing your new hopper other to things the boozer to meet your mates.
Yeah. It's like we have the other things, the cars and a game, because that's all I can remember now at the moment. And this is Liverpool Football Club, and all those football teams you're watching coming around, touring around us in the summer this year. This is our version of them, and blah 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 blah.
Thank God the Red Sox are decent.
Whereas the Far East tours always seem to be a lot more commercial.
Yeah, I know what you're saying by that.
Because like no matter what football do, it's never going to be as big as it will be, say, in China and stuff like that, because there just isn't as many people in America.
Well, it's not just that, but their passion
and
is
they don't
always
give a
their,
shit.
Yeah, their first passion is always going to be for their home sports, and that's
and
so
guns.
Yeah, and guns. Yeah,
they love
they
guns.
They are partial to firearms.
They do love guns. I was listening to the news this morning, and they had this guy on from the NRA. Oh, like, did you hear him?
The guy that says you should be armed. Yeah. You can carry a gun, but you can't carry a
cop.
Like, you fucking mentalist. What is the story?
If you get attacked, you can't carry a cop around your bag.
Yeah. It was like Shauna Murray from one of our news stations, Jim, was over there, you know, because obviously the terrible shootings that had happened yesterday, and she was just trying to have like some normal semblance of a conversation, and this crazy...
He was the NRA rep at the Trump team prior to the Republican convention tonight,
yeah.
so...
You can carry a gun, can't carry a cup.
You can carry a gun, but you can't carry a cup. There's a lesson for you, kids.
The rest of the world is playing Pokemon Go. They're all playing Call of Duty.
It's just I've never witnessed a more sad thing in my life as this Pokemon Go thing.
We are talking about, I suppose, our feelings. No, but we're talking about the tour, but we're also talking about
who will be the first Liverpool player to go around looking for Pokemon Go on the football pitch.
Moreno. Like,
given Moreno.
Enrique walk around on
field. Walking around with his phone there.
No, he won't be walking.
Pikachu!
He'll be on his hoverboard.
Even Moreno. If Stoke at home, he'd be throwing Pokeballs at Glenn Johnson. I've got to catch him.
You know what worries me? The fact that you even know what the basis of that game is, Paul Brennan.
You walk around.
You play it, don't you?
No, I do.
Yes,
I certainly don't.
You animal. So we ran a poll there, actually. Neil ran a poll for us just an hour before the pod kicked off, and the question was,
which Pokemon
do you feel with the signings that we've signed so far, do you feel there's enough to turn us into a top four team? And we got just shy of 600 votes in the hours, 599. 61% said no, 39% said yes. So that's interesting. Nearly 61%
said no, 39%
nearly two-thirds of our voters there don't.
Did we not put a don't know option in?
No. We wanted a yes or no. And the don't knows always wreck polls.
I know.
They're poll wreckers.
I wish you'd had some don't know votes on this referendum over here.
It would have been about 87%, Jim.
Don't worry, Jim. We're making use of 34 counties, supposedly, so you're all sorted.
All sorted, mate.
We're parachuting in a load of passports. Don't worry. We can give them to the sheiks and everything. It's a freebie.
So that's nearly two-thirds of our fans don't feel that the signings we've made thus far could turn us into a top 14.
Well,
I think that's strange. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
I'd say it's interesting, but I think if we were about to embark on a season with European football and the rest of it, I would be more worried. And I think this is the thing to remember. If the last time we had a season like this with no European football, we did come second in the league with Brendan Rodgers in charge. I know we had Suarez, and I know we had, you know, there were other things different that season to this, but the lack of games, the way you get most weeks, you're going to get a full week to recover. And if you're not, it's probably because it's a League Cup game where you can switch things around a bit anyway. That's a massive advantage that the other teams maybe haven't got. The other teams that are in front of us for a top four place haven't got. So I just hope we can take advantage of that. And I think to me, if I was Klopp, I wouldn't necessarily be diving out for new players now. I'd be looking at players ready for next summer as well, because, you know, you need to get in the Champions League, but some of the players you want for the Champions League aren't going to come this season.
Absolutely. That's one of the things I've said, Jim. I think I've said for a little while now that I think we might actually have a net profit at the end of this summer in terms of our transfer business, or very close to it. I don't think there's going to be any major outlay despite the money that's come in, because I think Klopp is nearly backing himself to, you know, this is a man that has huge expectations on himself. He's not a spoofer. He's in here expecting to be able to get Liverpool to challenge for the league. And I think his minimum expectation this season would be to manage to achieve top four, especially with no European football. And I think maybe he's looking at building a squad, much like you would if you were in the Championship. You would look to build a squad that's capable of getting you up into the Premiership, and then you tweak that squad to keep you in the Premiership. I think he's looking at a squad that can help us to qualify for the Champions League. And then I think that's when someone like Jurgen Klopp is in a position to be able to use his influence to bring in players as well. The Klopp effect, so to speak. I think it's very difficult, unless you're throwing mad money at mercenaries, for us to get players in this summer to really, you know, from that first tier. So I think he's decided, let's go build a squad that's capable of that top three, top four finish. And from that then, let's bring in the marquees next summer.
Do you know what my biggest fear is overall?
That we miss out on top four.
Well, we're not getting top four, but I...
Okay.
You miserable.
I don't think we can. I think we've been set up, outside of the year that we came second, we've been continually sixth, seventh, eighth.
Yeah.
Right. And if you look at how Spurs have built over the last 10 years, they got themselves from sixth, seventh, eighth and became consistently fourth, fifth, and sixth, then fourth and fifth, then into the top four. And if you think of where we're starting off, we've basically just reversed positions to where Spurs were 7-8 years ago. So we need to establish ourselves first of all back in the top 5-6 every year. Then you can say to yourself, right, we're going to have a crack at top four this year. We're going to have a crack at top four. And you build and you build and you build and you build that unit and you build that team. My only worry is I don't see these leaders, these mentally strong players that he's signed. What I do see is another load of players that we're trying to sign, say, from mid-table teams who traditionally will, things go wrong, they fall off in terms of performance levels. And when things are going right, they look great. And that's been our biggest problem over the last two seasons.
I know what you're saying, but like if you look at the Chelsea team that came to prominence, he had John Terry there. He bought people like Michael Ballack, people that, you know, Ballack didn't necessarily even play a huge amount of games, but he was the German captain at the time, I think, or vice captain, if memory serves me right. Like, and he was a dominant player in that dressing room. And I do agree with what you're saying.
Who is the player? When I think of...
Like City did it with Company and with Yaya Toure and with people. They were players that
those players
and were dominant forces to drive on a group of individuals.
And even when Rodgers had the 13-14 season, Toure came in on a free.
Yeah.
Right? Just had a history of winning stuff between City and Arsenal, the whole lot, right? And then Suarez. I know Suarez was signed the previous year, but like, I've never seen a player want to win a match, ever. I still have never seen a player like him who wants to win every single match that he sets foot on the pitch. Yeah. But even a 70% of Suarez or a 50% of Suarez, who is that player going to be for us this year? Because it's that will to win and that desire to win and refusing to accept the loss, which has been our biggest problem, because players have just accepted losses. When I look at Henderson, when I look at Milner, when I look at Allen, when I look at Moreno, when I look at Sacco, when I look at all the lads that have been there, Mignolet, right, yeah. As soon as their heads go too quickly in terms of losing goals. So if we lose a goal, I've never seen that team lose one goal and then stop the rot and just come back and bang.
Oh, we did last season, I think.
We did it a few times, but what I'm talking about is when the pressure is on. Not when there's no pressure on you. I'm talking about when the real pressure is on you to say,
I think that's harsh. I think there was major pressure on them in the Dortmund game.
I'm talking about the league. Forget the Dortmund. Had we put seven more points on the board last year, we would have been top four.
I understand that.
And we had those games to win.
And I think if you look at the way Klopp approached those last six or seven games, the points were definitely there to be got. You know,
we gave up winning positions all the time.
Yeah, we did. With fringe players, though, not with our first 11. You know, they were the Swansea game, probably the Southampton game was the only one that you would say our full strength side was out in the last, whatever it was, 8 or 10 games. That actually capitulated. Other than that, we were very much in.
Well, there is, but I'm just saying. I just when I look at it, it's just I look at where are these winners.
I know what you're saying.
No, I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I don't want to be right.
So am I.
Do you know what I mean? I don't want to be right.
Yeah,
but a big part of it was always going to be Klopp's effect on the players, though. It was always going to be a case of trying to get more out of kind of lesser players to play catch up with the team. So. I like on one hand, I'm always bitching about like how we're not signing many kind of really ready made stars, but like it was always really going to be like that under Klopp. Like, so you have to accept that it's not going to be established kind of monsters coming in. It is going to be him trying to mold the player,
to develop a mental strength as well in the players. Yeah. I think that's what he's going to probably try and use this summer to do. You know, this is his first chance to work with the group relentlessly. In America, he hasn't had that. Wherever, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm just saying, you know,
Huddersfield.
Not just in the summer, but I mean during the season, he has that chance to work with them properly and have 3, 4, 5 days between games where he can just set out and decide, right, this is what we're gonna do, this is how I want us to implement it, and bang, again and again and again work on that.
I saw Wembley from the air last week. I was very impressed with it.
Thanks, Phil.
Jim said about the, you know, not playing in Europe.
Like, ADD so. Casey here beside me. I like crayons.
I've got some up my nose.
No, I did. I was because.
Have you never been in the new Wembley?
No, I've never been.
Okay, okay.
So like,
yeah, it is impressive.
I actually thought the Emirates was Wembley first when I flew in. Because we're flying, you know the way you can sometimes come down the Thames, like the EastEnders, the opening of EastEnders.
They play that on the plane.
I know, they do, yeah. And then they hang a right just at the Shard and then come back on itself. And then you get to see all the football stadiums on the other side. So when I'm going, like, the Emirates, I was like, where's that stupid arch that they have over Wembley? Like, all right, that's not Wembley.
Yeah, the big Arsenal sign gave it away.
Yeah. And Thierry, the statue of Thierry Henry, which is taken down now because him and Wenger don't like each other anymore.
There we go. Yeah. So we've the
because you wouldn't give lads, up the punditry.
With the English lads and the Belgians back and a couple of others this week. What's the thoughts? Are we looking forward to seeing them back in action?
Well, I'm not looking forward to seeing Mignolet back in action or Milner. I'll say that straight. I'd never want to see them back in action again.
Fair enough. What about you, Jim?
Joe Allen is one of those players, isn't he? If we could get him to play like he did in his first few games for Wales in the Euros, you'd be glad to see him back and keeping his place. But then you always get that game like his last game for Wales in the Euros, and you think, you know, which Joe Allen are you going to get? And I think, but at least I do think at least you get good games with Joe Allen. And I think you just mentioned Milner, and I think, yeah, he doesn't have that many good games, does he? He has occasional good moments in games, but he never has good games. And Henderson, What I'm sort of roundabout coming to say is we need the Graham Souness to come back, the Graham Souness to play. We've not got that player to come back, and it's just what you were saying about the will to win. Liverpool haven't really got to be a genuine captain in the whole squad. No. And I think sometimes when you get to this stage of pre-season, that's who you're looking forward to coming back, that player, that winner. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm glad to see the players back, but there's none that really jump out at you in that way.
There's no nastiness in our squad either, is there? Like, we don't have anybody in that squad with that bit of needle that just wants to win and it's his aim as much to win as it is to piss off the opposition. You know what I mean? Just to wind them up and get at them. And we're too nice. You know what I mean? You look at our entire squad, who would you say is, you know, going to give a fella a flick in the balls, or
Lallana?
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. Like,
he is though, but he's like he's the crappiest.
We can't take him seriously.
Exactly, he's the crappiest scorpiest bloke ever on the pitch. Like, he comes in, he always goes to the biggest player, try starting him, and the biggest player just laughs.
Yeah,
he goes, yeah, right. Now they've seen him on that Nivea advert when he's had the shave.
Yeah, he looks ridiculous without. Like, he has a shit beard. Don't get me wrong, but I can clearly see why he's grown the shit beard, because he looks even more ridiculous when he's shaving. You know, but we don't have that, and that's one thing that maybe hasn't been addressed.
Maybe Grujic.
We don't know, but we're talking about a 20-21 year old young lad. You know, we don't have that experienced pro to come in who has that bit of needle about them.
Unlike me, to make a mad shout about just put him straight in.
Yeah, but...
Well, I saw 45 minutes of him, and he's basically the new Vieira, so I would want him to start as well. He's basically the best centre mid in the league, I think.
And Ajaria is the new Pogba.
Yeah.
So if we play Grujic and Ajaria in the centre midfield, like, we've got Pogba and Vieira, and then we've Emre Can, who's the new Kaiser.
Yeah.
We're actually going to win the league. Forget that. We're not coming
change,
top four.
Of opinion.
We're not coming top four. We're winning the league.
Right.
So. And then Cock Woodburn, the fella up front, not a bother to him.
What? Did you,
huh?
What did you call him?
Cock Woodburn. I don't know.
Cock Woodburn. Ben Woodburn.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I just was looking at him yesterday. That just kept going round and round in my head.
Cock Woodburn.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would.
Well, you have contributed valiably tonight.
I'm delighted you came in for the second half of this. Right, so we move on to some Tripper chat. So the first one, I think we've already... Carl O'Donovan asks, Carl_O_D asks, who's impressed during pre-season? Also thoughts on Clavin and Wijnaldum. To be honest, Carl, I think we've covered most of that in the pod so far. We've had a chat about who we've liked so far and the lads coming in. We've explained how none of us know who Clavin is, and anybody who's pretending to is a liar.
Clavin.
And Wijnaldum, yeah, you know what I mean. I don't think anybody will be losing their shit if we sign him, but I don't think...
I think if he comes in, he's going to be one of those signings that might actually do very well for us, because nobody's going to expect him to pull up the...
Maxi Rodriguez.
Yeah. Although Maxi was only £1 million.
I know, but let's forget about the fee. I'm talking about something that not an awful lot is expected of, and in the end he delivers.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Here's Alex Baralio. Sorry, Barilaro. I'm a dyslexic
very
tonight.
Good, very good, very good.
He asks, it's not his, but apparently it's a classic.
You're normally so eloquent and all.
What's worse, sleeping with a long-lost sister or sleeping with a man you thought was a woman? Paul?
Yeah. So yeah, either of them. Either.
They're both bad.
What's worse?
What's worse? Yeah.
Well, sleeping with a long lost sister.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Why is it though?
It is. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Think about
Let's
it.
Let's move on then.
There's like there's
I
all...
don't want to talk about it.
Sleeping with a bloke
Dave
who
Thomas, he'll love that question.
A question to our Welsh listeners. So, sleeping with your sisters.
This is a common complaint in Wales. So
what's he sorry, toaster or kettle? Which is the superior kitchen appliance?
Toaster. I don't like tea or coffee or anything, so the kettle could fuck off. Like toaster, I'd say.
I'm with you on this, Paul. I'm not a fan of hot drinks.
Yeah, the shit.
Yeah.
Whatever about hot drinks, like the kettle does though boil water, and boiled water comes in, like you can use it for many things as opposed to just hot drinks. Pot. Yeah, it takes longer to boil them.
Fair point.
So if you want to hot...
You can't do a pot noodle in a toaster.
Yeah. Never try cook a stew in a kettle either. That's my piece of advice.
You can cook pasta though, but you have to keep your finger on the button for ages. You can't let it pop
your
up.
Toaster will only ever cook pasta once. Yeah. Just for the record. So if it's a choice of dying or cooking pasta in your toaster, maybe do that. Otherwise, get a fucking pot. Okay.
I think a toaster. Yeah, a toaster's good, but like maybe just air on the side of the kettle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Andrew Pavey, interesting, asks, can you create a better intro than the first one last year?
Well, we'll have to wait and see, because the first one was about Lovren and Lallana. So we have to see who we hate that's going to start this year's match.
Okay, so technically to us, this isn't our first one yet. Because
this is the first pre-season pod. So this one will have PS1 on it.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right.
Was last week not the first preseason pod?
No, that was the last Euro Trippers. Did you not get the naming conventions?
Paul's love for the podcast is outstanding.
Immense.
Yeah, it really is. I'm trying to see if we have any other Tripper chats in this evening.
Steve, a question. Do you have one of those steam mops?
Steam mops, no. I have a steamer. I have a clothes steamer. I don't have mop. Yeah, they're brilliant.
I was thinking of getting one that was like the...
They're meant to be very good, the steam mops. I just don't have one.
Yeah.
It's because I'm lazy and couldn't be arse mopping most of the time. But I have one of the steamers for clothes. So literally the only time I iron now is if I have a meeting and have to wear like a crisp shirt. Other than that, the old steamer.
You just take the steamer out and just run them over the garments?
Yeah, any t-shirts, any stuff like that. Literally, the creases fall out in about 20 seconds. They're brilliant. Yeah.
I was thinking of getting one. I was like, look, but now, I do have a problem with don't you know the tele-advertising?
Yeah.
Because I do get drawn in by the advertisements.
Like JML products?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like I'll sit there, you know when you turn them on in the morning and all of a sudden you realise you've been watching them for an hour?
Yeah.
And it's like...
And it's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And really you turn them on at 10:30. So you spend 4.5 hours of your life or five, yeah, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's like, and you look at them and you actually think when you're watching it, Jesus, that's a fucking great idea.
It's why those QVC is a multi-billion dollar industry. Yeah, Jim, what's your thoughts on irons and steamers and steam mops?
I'm a very lucky man that I have someone else to do that for me.
You are a lucky man. You are a lucky man.
Yeah, because when it comes to ironing, it's just catastrophe with me.
Yeah,
I just don't understand it.
No, just
turn the tumble dryer up to the the highest heat.
To iron,
that's
my
iron that is.
My missus just does not do. She hates ironing herself, so she's not doing any of my ironing for me. Washing and ironing just don't get done by her. I have to do my own. It's that simple.
Since I removed myself to the man cave, I found myself doing all types of chores.
Very a domestic goddess.
I am actually. I bought an apron there recently as well. I was actually, yeah.
Oh my God.
You brought an apron?
Yeah.
I have an apron.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it myself, admittedly. It was given to me.
No, I was there in the kitchen one day cooking and I thought myself, Jesus, I'm sick of getting splatters all over me. Do you know what? An apron would be a handy thing.
How messy are you like? What? Do you treat cooking as messy play, do you?
No, but like there's sauces and stuff going everywhere.
Yeah, or sometimes it can just be handy if
you're whisking.
If your hands are if a little bit on your hands, just give it a now wipe in the apron. It's all right. Just throw that in the washing machine. I'd start doing that with your shirt, then shit doesn't go well. That's all right, Paul. You just take a call.
You just take a call there, Paul. Hello?
Is it a comedy apron?
Like with a big willy hanging out the front of it?
Just something to wipe your hands
I
on.
I tell people it is, Jim, if you know what I'm saying. Oh no, this is a comedy apron.
That's not a very big novelty, will you?
It's average comedy.
I don't want to grower.
Yeah, I don't want to be too funny.
It's very cold in this kitchen. Very cold.
Okay, I think that's I think that's just done on Tripper Chats.
One thing I did learn last night when I was cooking was, you know the way when you get peppers under your fingernails?
Yeah.
They can, it can
and come, an itchy arse.
No, but it can come back and surprise you in all types of ways that you weren't expecting.
Like 3 hours later when you get an itchy eye. Like yeah. That is the killer.
You touch your eye and next minute it's on fire.
Yeah.
But the one that killed me yesterday was, I didn't realise, I sort of rubbed my forehead. And next minute I had a crown of pepper burn going around the edge of my hair. And it was like literally somebody had just put a ring of fire across the top of your head. I was like, this is the weirdest feeling ever.
I was making dinner the other night and I didn't realise that the missus had changed out the normal chili flakes for habanero chili flakes.
Oh, nice.
And I put in 3 teaspoons of habanero chili flakes. And what happened when I first tasted that dish was not an enjoyable experience. It was fucking horrendous. I killed myself with them.
Have you only bring the pain sauce left?
Yeah, I have a bit left. Yes.
Where's my bottle?
Sorry, man, I'm using it.
What a prick.
It took
Jim,
he
bought me a bottle of sauce and told me for about 8 weeks that he had it for me. Every time he never brought it with him, and I've just asked him where it is now and he said he's fucking eating it.
No, I haven't eaten it. I'm using it at the moment.
Splashed it all
but then you are
himself.
Eating it.
But that's why you had to get the apron. But the first night I used that, I was like, you know, Phil was like, oh, it's really hot, it's really hot. And I was kind of like, I was putting it in the press and I was like, how hot can this be? He's spoofing it. I put a couple of drops on my finger and put it in my mouth. Oh my God. Up until about 2 o'clock in the morning, just come. It's lethal stuff.
Bring the pain. If anyone's out there, listen, get into Lidl. There might be only a couple left. Into the barbecue bit. Bring the pain.
And Lidl definitely aren't paying us for this. Definitely not.
Maybe Monster Gadgets might want to get some bring the pain sauce in if they want. But like, if they don't, then you can always go to Lidl.
In time. Can't beat the old funky admin. It's time to bring it back, all right. So, big thanks as ever to the Astro Park for looking after us. www.astropark.ie in this fine weather. Get your ass on out there, play a game of football, lose a bit of weight. It'll be grand for you. Look great on the beach. Also, as we said, Monster Gadgets continues association with the show. Grows on, and they've got more discounts for you. Get over there for 2-for-1 specials, free postage, all that type of stuff. Use the discount code, get your 10% off. The Android boxes, the satellite boxes, the smartwatches. You know you want it. Get on over to it. And make sure they look after you when you get over there. Great customer service. So what's left? Yeah, we're back anyway. So we're back with the shows. Another one next week as the tour kicks off. Big huge thanks to Jim Boardman for coming back on tonight. We haven't had him on in a while. We're going to be doing a few Skype calls again since we're back out on our own and getting the lads in. It's great having Jim on tonight. We love Jim. He's deadly. And of course, big shout to Steve-O for hosting the pod and hosting it so eloquently, even if he did forget words at times. And also another big shout to Paul Brennan, the irrepressible to Paul Brennan. What a head. Some head. And then of course there was myself, Phil. I just popped in the middle of it just to say how he is, just put another voice in and just throw some randomness in. So anyway, that's the pod for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you keep listening, because if you don't, I know where you live. Oh yeah, I do. And I'll come over and I'll sort it out. I'll make you sit down and I'll make you listen to it. Good night, God bless.
Remember that this part is not.
Yeah. They'll also be also remember to edit out the part where your mother's ringing 5 times. I'm going, will you ever fuck off? Because every time it put Jim on hold on Skype, so I had to pick it back up and go, sorry, Jim, just, well, I think we've that sorted. And she'd ring again. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Can I get him to call you back in a few minutes?
No, it's
mom. Yeah, no problem. He is on the other phone at the minute. Yeah, if you want to give him a call on that, he should be able to pick it up.
That you're fine. Thanks a lot.
No worries.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Bye bye.